We're in lesson 24 of Matthew as we study the book of Matthew dispensationally, and as we're looking at some things in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And we'll read down through 19. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Not men gathered grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. And the verse 17, God warns, begins to warn the nation Israel, that little flock that he's teaching from the Sermon of the Mount, okay? He hasn't come down yet. You're going to see that in a minute. He's still up there teaching and proclaiming the constitution of what they're going to go through in the tribulation period. And I like the fact that some of you already started to understand and see the fact there's no mistake in the book of Matthew that he's referring to a little flock in that time period over there. So therefore, there's not a member of the body of Christ that's going to be in that time, period. But God begins to warn about the false prophets who will try to lead the people down the wide gate, as in verses 1 through 13. Remember we read back there 13, enter ye in the straight gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the way. There's a group of people that's going to try to lure that little flock or the nation Israel, apostate Israel, which they've been doing all that, down a wide gate, okay? But he says, what did he say in verse 14? Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way and leadeth into life, and few that be there that find it. Did you read that? Is everybody going to be there?
A few.
So why does it upset some of us today to think that, well, I might not want to go there, but you think about some things about, oh my gosh, everybody's not going to be in the body of Christ because everybody's believing whatever they want to believe. You with me? So that would be a wide, broad gate, wouldn't it? But the gospel of your salvation today is very narrow, and it points to this cross, and you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you're saved, and you're seated, and you're there. Okay? Jeremiah 14. Go to Jeremiah 14 and Matthew chapter 10. The Lord begins to warn them of false prophets. What do we find out lesson ago or so about the swine and the dogs? Who were they again?
Gentiles?
No.
That was the priests, the Jewish.
The false prophets and the teachers, according to... So they're the ones that's out there, and God's warning them, Jesus is warning them, hey, don't cast your pearls, okay? Those pearls is his people. And to the false prophets. Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14. Verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I send them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and deviation and a thing of naught and a deceit of their what? Hey, there's people out there prophesying in the name of God, and he didn't send them. Now, that was in times past. You wouldn't think that's going on today and but now. But go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I know I got a little of you chuckling back there because you know that they are. There's false prophets and there's false teachers out there today prophesying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people are flocking to them. And they're not studying the Word of God to determine if it's so. Go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, but ye therefore wise as servants and harmless as doves. But beware of men, For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You see what they're doing? He's sending them out, but he said, beware of what? Of men, that they will deliver you up. They're out there telling the truth, but there's men out there going to deliver them up. Beware of false prophets. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive what?
Many.
Not all, but many. Verse 24 in the same chapter. For they shall rise false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. There's people going to be out there doing signs and wonders and miracles, and if it was possible, they're going to deceive the very elect. That tells me something. If they're in there, they can't lose it if it comes to salvation.
If it were possible.
If it was possible. Yes.
So it's not possible?
He says if it were possible. That elect, if you're saved in that elect, you're not going to be deceived. Okay? What they try to do is make you deceived for the unbelieving, to keep them unbelieving. Now, if you can be deceived, if you're saved, guess what it makes you affect? It makes you non-effect in the gospel. Okay? Let's keep moving. Just because something is supernatural happens doesn't mean it's from God Almighty. Now, I know it's very hard to understand that, but it's true. Revelation chapter 13. There's people, you just read it, Lord Jesus Christ said there's going to be false prophets and teachers out there showing you signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, I don't know about you, you can turn on boob tube today, and you can see that actually happen. And we look at it like we discard it because you know what the Word of God says. Let's keep looking at this. Revelation chapter 13. And ages have come, there's going to be a time period over here, and he's warning them. What's going to happen? Revelation 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all of the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was what? Healed. That man gets shot over here and his wound's healed. The God and Creator doesn't do that to him. Keep reading. And he goes and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on earth in the sight of man, and to seize them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause them as many as would not worship the image of the beast shall be what? Killed. He's out there doing signs and wonders, just like what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Hey, when the Lord Jesus Christ dies and buried and rose again, he raised himself up, you know that. And the Holy Spirit raised him up, and God the Father raised him up. When they get over here and he's sitting on that throne, that Antichrist sitting on that throne, guess what happens? He gets shot. He lays in the streets. They lay him out there, and 3 days later he comes up. And guess what they're going to point at? The Word of God and say, he's God. Yes, very scary. Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Starting with verse 12. Revelation 16, 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets. You see that? Mouth of what? The dragon, the beast, and the false prophets. How many is that? There's a trinity there. It's the Antichrist. And you know, you point that out to some people, oh yeah, you know, it is a trinity, but they won't believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, you may not run across people like that. I have. But they'll believe in Satan's trinity. You with me? But there's a trinity right there. What is Satan once again? He's a angel like, but he's a counterfeiter. He's been counterfeiting the Word of God and himself all the way since he's fallen. Verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. You see that? They're going to work miracles in the name of that Trinity, the Antichrist. Go to Matthew chapter 7 and get Deuteronomy chapter 13. Matthew 7 and Deuteronomy 13. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll work back down through this, but I want you to compare what we're talking about right now. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day. In that day, what day? That day right here, the second coming, okay? In that day when the Lord Jesus Christ, it always depends on that day is going to happen over there. In that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now we're going to get back there in a minute, but I'm just showing you there's people out there prophesying in the name of God and working miracles, and he said, hey, we did it in you. He goes, I never knew you. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Here's a good measure for them that they should know who those false prophets was and what they was doing. It could be something that we could take heed to as far as just from our learning. You know, you got to watch about the application of things, but the practical aspect of things, you could say, look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. If there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Boy, have you heard that before? Shouldn't you love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? If you love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, you should be able to prove some things because you're going to believe the Word of God. Verse 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave to Him. Now, what does it say about if somebody's going to prophesy something in the name of the Lord and tells you to follow other gods? It's false not to follow him. Go back to go get 1 John. In the passage, God warns them, if you see with your eyes a sign or wonder, if that sign and wonder doesn't match the Word of God, then you should disregard that sign and wonder. Hey, if you ask me, I can apply that today. Because people's out there doing signs and wonders not lining up with the Word of God today. 1 John chapter 4. Now, where would you think 1 John would be at in your understanding of ages to come. Thank you. You have times past, but now and ages to come. So in ages to come, 1 John is going to be applying to from the Hebrews epistles, what we call Hebrews through Revelation. They're going to take those books and they're going to understand some things of what's going on in that tribulation period and towards the end of time. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof if ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. See, what does he tell them to do? If there's a spirit come down and he don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, he's not of God. Okay? They should identify that. Boy, when I was younger, did I ever try those spirits coming on me, those devils that's trying to get me to do things, and I would say, are you of God? I'm serious. You know, they would never answer me, but because it was me that's doing that thing, you know what I mean? But look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 with verse 18. Little children, It is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. How do they know what it is? They're in that period over here. They're going through that time. They know it's the last time. And before that last time, there was other Antichrists. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling back over Matthew about the false prophets and stuff. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have heard of the unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. See, they got Spirit, and they have the unction of the Spirit, and they know these things. Look at verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the what?
Truth.
There's people over there that's telling them some things about what not to do, if you will. The Antichrist. They are tribulation. What we just read, a tribulation passage that helps the believer to identify false prophets. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. That making sense to you in a way that say, hey, there's a lot the Lord Jesus Christ is doing about identifying false prophets. He was identifying there. You think there was false prophets when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth? You think there are false prophets and teachers walking the earth today? Okay. You think there are going to be false prophets and teachers that's going to be walking the earth in ages to come? You better believe it. From the garden on, they've been that. Beware of false prophets that we just looked at. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Matthew chapter 7. What we do. How do you know them? By the what? You are not to judge them, but you can inspect, you can be a fruit inspector. Many of us are, right? When you go to the produce stand, you inspect that fruit. I buy a bag of apples or a bag of oranges, you know, and I'm looking at them. This looks good. And I take it home 3 days later, there's a big old white spot, you know, and you love to stick your finger in it, you know. No. You know, when you pick it up, it's rotten. You know, the oranges is, I don't know what you call that white infection, I guess. but you inspect the fruit. In other words, check it out, what they say and what they do. You and I should be doing that. You and I should be looking at what these preachers and teachers are saying and then watching them, what they say and what they do. Satan's program is good works or not good works? Satan's program is good works. You know the first thing in the garden Adam and Eve did after they sinned, what was the first thing they did?
Sowed fig leaves.
They made fig leaves to cover up. You know what that was?
Works.
Good work. Look at me. I'm going to take care of what I did. And it's good works. It's a self-righteous act. That's why many of us have, you know, come to understanding today that it's not of works for our salvation. We know that, correct? But once you're saved, do you not want to do good works? You know, recently I was talking with a young man and down at the where we was at, and he was like, you know, I just have an issue with works. I said, what kind of works? He said, you know, good works. And I said, okay, is it works for your salvation? Do you understand that Christ died for your sin and buried and rose again, plus anything else that you can't do? He said, yes. I said, praise God on that. You got that settled. But now he's worried about, where's the good works and the good fruit that he wanted to see in the assembly that he was at to see some things. And I said, that's a good answer or a good question. Because you want to do good works. You want to see people see the fruit that's producing here. You with me? And it ain't got nothing, it has nothing to do with salvation. Please remember that. It's an attitude. It's that heart condition. And he says over here, verse 7:16, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now, where does grapes grow on?
Vine.
A vine. Who is the vine?
Jesus Christ
or the nation? Israel, the true vine. Now, we use this timeline up here to show, if you're looking at it, this top line is the true vine of Israel. This is what Israel should do. But if you want to put one down or top of each other, there's a false vine out there, apostate vine, and it's thorns. Okay? And people in the apostate Israel would go over here thinking they was doing good works. And let me ask you this. What about figs? Where do you get figs? Do you get figs from thistles?
No, it's a bush.
It's a tree or a bush, right? Okay. The thistles and the thorns are the apostate. Remember the four trees in Judges? The olive tree and the fig tree and the bramble bush was the apostate. That's what that is. And he's saying, do you gather grapes from this apostate people? Or are you going to grab grapes from the vine and you're going to grab figs from the tree of life? See? There's a lot of illustrations in there that if you really think about what God through Jesus is doing, Jesus on earth, in this earth a minute, is teaching the nation Israel, you can't go over that apostate nation. You've been doing that all this time. The trees are types of the believing and non-believing nations of Israel. With me? There's believing Israel that fall in him, that little flock, and there's non-believing that didn't want nothing to do with John Baptist. If you remember in Luke chapter 7, it says all of Israel, all of Jerusalem and Judea was baptized of him except the lawyers and the Pharisees. They rejected the counsel of God. Now, would lawyers and Pharisees be a part of the nation Israel? There's one that was the people that had the words of God, was the teachers. But they didn't want no part of that. They was holier than thou. The ones who will be separated out are the believing remnant that it will enter the kingdom, and the non-believer is going to go where? The lake of fire. No ifs, ands, buts. They're going like a fire. Verse 20 over here. Verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Ye shall know them by their doctrine. What's doctrine once again? It's teachings. Okay? And it's sound doctrine. You think Lord Jesus Christ gave out sound doctrine? You think the apostle to the body of Christ, the apostle Paul, talks about sound doctrine. and he warns you about other doctrines out there that you can be called into? Now, I'm looking at you today, and I know from your testimonies, you've been a part of doctrines like that. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but the Word of God says it's doctrines of devils. You know, God said it, guys, not me. But we was a part of that, and what God does, you know, you was probably saved, but you didn't understand some truth, and now you understand some truth, you can say, yeah, it was. I was a part of that system. It's wrong, and, you know, I'm no longer. Praise God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay? This applies to us today in the ages of grace because they are false apostles out there, okay, who compare the Word of God. They're false apostles that how they compare the Word of God rightly divided. They don't even right divide. They either wrongly divide or don't divide at all. Oh, I know what right division is. It's New Testament, Old Testament. You know, yeah. It's everything from this side of the cross to that side of the cross. You know, many of you laughing, but the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Cut straight, and that's truth from truth. You guys know that. Verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's an illustration of what is going to happen. Okay, but verse 22 to 23 we read a few minutes ago. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many will say and talk about good works that they have done in His name, and God will respond that their works are works of what? Iniquity. And that He never knew them. Boy, that's tough. Because there's people out there that I've rubbed elbows with in the past under their ministries, you know, and whatever. They done good works. They did prophesize in the name of God and all that stuff. And He's saying, I never knew you. Because you got to understand, if Jesus is God, did I say if?
You did.
Okay. You know He is.
Amen.
And He's up on that mount, and He's preparing them to that He is the King, and He's providing everything for them. And when He comes down off that mount, will you see in this lesson or the next lesson in verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, no, chapter 8, verse 1, when He has come down from the mountains, great multitudes follow, He starts healing lepers. And He goes to, you'll see some things that He is God, and the nation of Israel starts to pick up on that in a heartbeat. Only God can do what He's done. Amos chapter 3. Look at Amos. Get Luke chapter 13, Amos chapter 3. We're going to finish up this passage here. Amos chapter 3. Joel, Amos. I never knew you. Amos chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 1 says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you from all your iniquities. Now, He never knew you for your iniquities. Thank you. For your iniquities. Okay? Wait a minute. Scratch your head for a second. Don't God know everything? Don't God know everybody? But He never knew you. He takes that no. If you understand what that... Adam knew his wife. Cain knew his wife. That's an intimate dealing an intimate relationship with something or someone. Okay? And when he bore and born the nation Israel, that's who he knew. He knew all the other nations. But he said, you, talking about the nation Israel, have I known. Okay? You got to keep that in mind because, well, go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Strive to enter into the straight gate for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. 13:25. When once the master of the house is risen up, he has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Think about that. The Lord God Almighty is going to shut that door, and you're knocking on that door, and he ain't going to let you in. Verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk and in thy presence, and thou hast taught in the streets. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. That's tough. But he's God.
Just.
And he's going to do what he says. And that should teach us some things out there that they, you know, just everybody can't knock on that door and get in there. Hey, if somebody knocks on, you got a secret knock for your husband or, you know, knock, knock, knock. You know, okay, coming in. Or somebody, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, who is that? I'm not letting them in. You know what I mean? It's officer so-and-so. Yes, you know, you let them in. But, you know, you won't let just anybody in your house. You shouldn't. Now, down home, you know, the screen door is wide open. You know, strangers come up. When we moved up here, you know, they put a light in every house. And we was like, why is those candles in this house? Well, you know what that's a sign of? Welcome. You're welcome in your home. And that's a relief when you're traveling down a dark highway and you see that light and that candle in that, you know, home, and you knock on that door and they say, welcome, stranger. You know, today you wouldn't do that, would you? You know, you get mugged or beat up or taking everything you got.
A decoration today.
Looks pretty. But think about that. He never knew them. He didn't know them on an intimate relationship. You and I today should have an intimate relationship with your God, the Father. He's your Father. He's your Daddy. Talk to Him intimately. Get to know Him. That's all He strives to do. You're getting to know your children, you know, on an intimate basis. You know what I mean? That's special, isn't it? But today, you think about over here, and he's telling, I never knew you. He's talking about that apostate nation Israel that's going after, whoring after other things. Okay? He didn't know them. But we prophesied. We laid hands. We built churches. Look what we've done for you. They did it for themselves. We recently went to a wedding. Beautiful wedding. I mean, I'm getting some ideas on this stuff. You know, not that I'm going to marry a wife again, but, you never know. But the last thing he said, we're going to have them to kneel before God and pray. You know where he was at? In front of them. And that picture, like, wait a minute. He should be beside of them, together. Let's kneel in front of them. You know what I mean? But he was up there, and I'm like, oh boy. Did that ever uplift him? Because, you know, people would say, where's God? Well, he's right there in a robe with a funny little hat on. But look, you should know God, okay? Let's look at a few more passages. Their works were signs and wonders and miracles. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But I want you to, once again, I never knew you. Does God know everybody? He didn't know. He was looking at their hearts. You know, and at their, You can do all the works you want to do, but God would count it to nothing. Count it to nothing. And that's why, if you think about what he did at Calvary and what his blood did, you know, that's how you know God. How do you know God today? Do you know him in his earthly ministry? You know him what? By his glorified, risen Savior. Know we know, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, have we know Christ Jesus after the flesh. We know him no more. That's how Paul talks about it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there should be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, and a son of perdition. Okay? Laying some groundwork, Paul's saying, hey, I shouldn't have to tell you these things. This is what's going on. He's laying out what's going to happen over there. Verse 4. Who opposed, who's that who? The son of perdition, or the man of sin, who opposed and exalted himself, the son of perdition, all above that is called God, and that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself, the son of perdition, that he is what? God. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power of what? Signs and lying wonders. Is God bringing signs and wonders? Yes, sir. It sure is. Here's an Antichrist who's going to be bringing a sign, and Paul's telling you what? They're lying wonders. Go to Revelation 13. We saw this a few minutes ago. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered at the beast. Verse 12. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Verse 13. Well, that was verse 12. Is what I should read. Verse 12 talks about wound was healed. Verse 13 talking about making great wonders coming from heaven. Chapter 16. Revelation 16. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. We can read about things that's going to take place in the prophetic program, correct? Mm-hmm. It's scary. We can read what Lord Jesus Christ is preparing that little flock, the nation Israel, to go through over here in this tribulation period and understand what to look for, okay, and what not to look for. What to believe and what not to believe. Okay? And we're going to close in the fact that what do you think about but now? Because but now, if God is in a mystery program, which he is, in the dispensation of grace, if you open up the timeline, okay, we understand when Paul got his apostleship, did he have miracle? Could he make put hands on people and heal them? Okay? He stuck his hand in a wood pile and a viper bit it, a deadly viper that probably killed you in a couple of seconds. He shook it off. Nothing happened. Those guys looked at him and started looking at him as a god from another planet. Okay? did he lay hands on the sick. But as he got progressive revelation and understood that that ministry to the nation Israel, now what does Jews require? Okay? They always did. But as you read the book of Acts and started studying the book of Acts, those miracles, signs, and wonders started diminishing. Till the day he talks about he left so-and-so back, I can't pronounce his name for the sake of time, but he left him back there sick. Okay? He prays for God three times to remove an infirmity. See? So today, you better watch how you look for signs, wonder, and miracles. Many of us go to the doctor and are very thankful for what they, you know, done for us and stuff. But you better understand that those supernatural things that's going to apply today is not necessary from God, to God the Creator. Father, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for the time you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.